Mishnah.
On Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, right. The
really easy to
yeah, I heard that it was fun. Today's is actually relatively straightforward, which is a good way to get in trouble by saying it's going to be straightforward. Mishnah. The first Mishnah that we deal with today talks about vowing to bring an ineligible mincha. Okay, and the saying, "I'm going to bring something that you can't bring." It doesn't suit the rules. So Homer Harayalai Mincha Manasaurim. Someone says, "I'm going to bring a personal mincha from barley," and we know that the minchas that are from barley are not brought that way. The minchas from barley and the mincha of the sota, the Omer, so the chote, but not as a vowed one. So Yavi Minachitim. So he brings. He has to bring, but he brings wheat. He doesn't. You can't just decide. Well, I'm going to bring barley, but he does have to bring him a wheat one. Kemach. He says, "I'm going to bring Kemach, which is a rougher flour. Yavi solas, he has to bring a solas one out of fine flour. Below Shemen ubelo Lavona, he says, "I'm going to bring it without oil, I'm going to bring it without frankincense." Yavi Shemen ulavona, so he has to bring it with oil, with frankincense. Chatzi Isaron, he says, "I'm going to bring a mincha that's half an Isaron." Yavi Isaron Shalem, it doesn't work that way. You have to bring a full Isaron one. Isaron umechza, he says, "I'm going to bring an Isaron and a half." Yavi Shnayim, he has to bring two Isaron. We're going to come back to that line in particular in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says for all of these, no, he doesn't bring any mincha at all. Shalom isnadiv kederach hamisnadvin, because he didn't vow it the way that people normally vow. In other words, the Tanakhama says, if you take a vow to bring a mincha, that's all I care about. You took a vow to bring a mincha, you'll bring a proper mincha. And everything else that you said is extraneous. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, if the vow that you made was, I'm going to bring a mincha that's inappropriate, then you're not obligated at all to bring a vow. That's the machlokas Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara wants to know why the Tanakhama says I am obligated to bring a mincha with taking a vow under these terms. Why is it that I should be obligated to bring a mincha now? Neder upischa imohu. This would be a classic case of a neder along with its petach. A petach is an opening, and it's an opening specifically for you to be able to roll back the neder, to roll back the vow. You should be able to say, had I known you were going to make me do this, I would never have taken the vow in the first place. And it's clear, because I said so explicitly. I said I wanted to bring barley. You tell me I have to bring wheat? My answer is that wasn't what I had in mind. You should be able to claim charata, to claim regret, and thereby get out of the vow altogether. So the Gemara brings two explanations for what is going through the Tanakhama's head. One is the view of Chizkiah, the other is the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Chizkiah. Chizkiah says, we're about 15 lines down on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, Hamani, whose view is this? Beis Shammai. He says, you know what? Our Mishnah is actually Beis Shammai's view. Damar Tfos Lashon Rishon, because Beis Shammai says that if you were to make a vow, if you were to make a statement in which you said two contradictory things, we would follow your initial language. We would follow what you said first. Disnan, as the Mishnah says, Hareini Nazir min agrogros min advela. If a person takes a vow saying he's going to be a Nazir, not to have grogros, dried figs, and a devela, the pressed figs, which have nothing to do with the Zerus, right? So Beis Shammai Omrim Nazir. Beis Shammai says he is a Nazir because he said, "I am a Nazir." That's his. He said the magic word, and the grogros and devela stuff is irrelevant. We said that back on Daf Pei Aleph when we first saw this. Forget the grogros and the devela. That's not the point. The point is he's a nazir. Beis Hillel Remeinu Nazir. Beis Hillel says no, he's not. So our Mishnah says Chizkiah is following the view of Beis Shammai. Tosfos printed back on Kuf Beis Amud Beis suggests that Beis Shammai agrees with Rabbi Meir in terms of how we parse a person's speech. He says Ein Adam Motzi Devar of Levatala. A person doesn't say things in vain. So therefore, we take his opening statement seriously. And then, when he says his second half, which contradicts his first half, we view that like she'ela, we view that like an attempt to repeal his vow. And what Beis Shammai is saying is, I don't accept she'ela behekdesh. You took a vow regarding hekdesh, you don't have the ability to roll it back. And therefore, you're bound by your initial statement. So therefore, in our Mishnah, a person says, I'm going to bring a mincha, he's now bound to bring a mincha. And when in his second half of his statement he says, of barley, we ignore that. Because he's already said, I'm bringing a mincha, and a mincha means wheat. That's the way that Chizkiah explains it. Rabbi Yochanan gives me a different approach. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu tema beis Hillel. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, beis Hillel would agree with our Mishnah as well. You're bound to bring a proper mincha. Ba'omer, ilu ha'isi yodeya, shei nodrin kach, lo ha'isi nodir kach, ela kach. And the case in our Mishnah is not where he simply said what we read in our Mishnah. Rather, the case in our Mishnah is where he then was informed, you know, that's not a proper neder, and he said, oh, had I known you can't do that, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said it properly. So in other words, it was a mistake, and he acknowledged it was a mistake. And he said, oh, I changed my mind. So really, in that case, I would say pshita. Well, then it's obvious. But the answer is, what we're teaching here is that you don't need a restatement of the neder. We're good with your original statement, and that now obligates you. So those are the two views. One view is that we go with your first statement where the second half contradicts the first. You go with the first, and the first one was a valid statement, and that's that. And the second view is that we're actually talking about where you acknowledged it was a mistake and that you intended to do it properly. That's why you have to bring a proper neder. So we now have use that as a jumping off point to talk about a person who makes a vow that's entirely not relevant to vows of menachos. He says, I'm going to bring a mincha from adashim, from lentils. Okay? Barley, I understand you could make a mistake, because there are menachos brought from barley, and it's a grain. A person says he's going to bring a mincha from lentils, we look at him and say, what are you talking about? What is that? That's not even within the normal margin of error. So Amar Chizkiah. We usually pass on like a Stam Mishnah, but this isn't a Stam Mishnah. There's a machlokas here. Right? Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Amar Chizkiah. Chizkiah says, Lo shanu ela de Amar mincha min hasa'orim. He says, this is only where you said, I'm bringing a mincha of barley. Aval Amar mincha min ha'adashim. But if he says, I'm going to bring lentils, lo, then that's not so. That's not going to be true. Meaning, we're not going to link that to. In the end, he's not going to link the Mishnah to Beis Shammai altogether. That's coming in another line. But his point is, then the Tanakhama wouldn't say you have to bring a regular mincha of wheat. If a person says he's going to bring a mincha of lentils, it's garnished. That's nothing. So the Gemara says, wait, why is that true? Why do you tell me that saying I'm going to bring a mincha of lentils is meaningless? Michti Chizkiah keman amar l'shmaisei. Who is Chizkiah like? When Chizkiah explained the Mishnah, he said the Mishnah is like Beis Shammai. Ki Beis Shammai. U'Beis Shammai mishum tfos lashon rishon. U'Beis Shammai's view is you follow what the guy said the first time. The first half. So mali min asor, mali min adashim. Who cares whether his line finished with the word lentils or the word barley? It doesn't make a difference. Once you tell me tfos lashon rishon, shown that we follow the first half of his statement, it doesn't matter what the second half is. He could have said, I want to bring a mincha of rainbows. It doesn't matter. The fact is, you said, I want to bring a mincha, tfos lashon rishon, we follow what you said first, and you should have to bring a normal mincha. So the Gemara's answer is, hader bay, you're right, but Chizkiah recanted. Chizkiah changed his mind about associating our Mishnah with Beis Shammai. He changed his mind on that. Umaytai Mahadur Bey. Why exactly did he back down? What was his reason for backing down? And by the way, when we say he backed down, what that means is he now follows Rabbi Yochanan. And we say that, therefore, what we assume is what went on in the Mishnah was he made a mistake, and then later on he changed his mind. That's what it's talking about. So Amar Rava says the reason Chizkiah backed down is Masnisin Kashisa. He was bothered by the text of our Mishnah itself. My Irya Detani Mincha Min Hasa'orim. Why did our Mishnah say specifically the barley example, which is very close to wheat and is within the normal span of error? Listening Min Ha'adashim. If our Mishnah really meant to teach that we always follow your opening statement, it should have given me a really bizarre second half in order to show, even still, I follow your opening statement. It should have given me lentils. It should have given me rainbows. It should have said, I want to bring a mincha from Mars. It should have given me something that was so bizarre in order to teach me it's not simply about error, but it's about following the person's initial statement. Elish, mami na, mishum detayu. The answer is, they brought me barley specifically because they wanted to bring me something that was within the normal margin of error. People make mistakes regarding barley instead of wheat, as Rashi says, and we said at the outset, because there are menachos that are brought from wheat. He doesn't assume that that someone is going to make a mistake about lentils, and therefore the Mishnah, by bringing me this example of barley instead of bringing the example of lentils, it's clear that we're just talking about someone who made a mistake, and that's the issue. The issue is not, do I take the person's first words or not? The issue is, what happens if a person makes a mistake and then acknowledges, yeah, I made a mistake, I still want to be bound by the net. That's all Chizkiyah.
Is Beis Amar's case so out of line in the Lezer case? I mean, you could take wine from the figs.
Right.
So isn't that a clear case of...
It's an entirely different fruit, though. I mean, there's no such thing as a Nazir from that. I hear what you're saying, but I would say that it's pretty far afield, no? The word Nazir is...
Fixed wine is an
output. I mean, it's Sheikhar.
Yeah, but it's wine. It's not you can...
It's intoxicant.
Out of it, which is similar to wine.
Yeah. So this is... Right, this is all Chizkiyah. What do Rabbi Yochanan do in the lentil case? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Min HaAdashim. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if somebody says, I am taking a neder, and I want to bring a mincha from Adashim, from lentils, he still has to bring a mincha. The Michti Rabbi Yochanan Kiman Amar L'Shmaisei. Who is Rabbi Yochanan following when Rabbi Yochanan learned our Mishnah? Who did Rabbi Yochanan say our Mishnah was like? Kibbeis Hillel. He said our Mishnah was within Beis Hillel, and it was simply about making a mistake. Beis Hillel Mishun Detoy. Who Beis Hillel says it's about making a mistake and then saying, yeah, I misunderstood, I misstated. Bisaorim Toy Ba'adashim Lotoy. I don't understand. You make a mistake by lentils. You don't by barley. You don't make a mistake. Oh, I want to bring a mincha from lentils. So now we come back to Rabbi Yochanan and say, I don't understand. Why is it that you're telling me it's valid if he said lentils? That's not within the span that we would normally consider an error. That's simply an out-and-out irrelevant statement. So he says, L'davar d'chizkia ka'amar lei. But he says, you're right. From my perspective, if a guy says, I want to bring a mincha from lentils, he's not obligated at all. I only meant within Chizkiyah. If you take Beis Shammai's view, then I don't care about the second half of the statement. Right? If that's the view, then I understand the then I should accept even the lentil case. At my time Ahadras Bach, you, Chizkiyah, why did you back out? Mishum de lo katani min ha'adashim, you backed out because our Mishnah gave a barley case instead of a lentil case, and according to you, our Mishnah should have gone even farther afield. Dilma lo mabaya ka'amar, maybe our Mishnah structure is what we call a lo mabaya, literally a don't ask. Lo mabaya min ha'adashim de'ika lememar ma'adar huda adarbei, utfos lashon rishon. Don't even ask about the lentil case, where I could have said that he was recanting in his second half. Not that it was a mistake, but his second half was actually a change of heart. And I say, follow the first half. Ela filu min hasa'orim nami de'ika lememar mita huda katoi. But even in a barley case, where you could say it was simply an error and the whole thing was stated in error, afilu achid fos lashon rishon, even still, you go with the first statement. So again, two fundamentally different views of how I look at a person's neder, where the second half contradicts the first. One view is Beis Shammai's view. Beis Shammai's view is that if your second half contradicts the first, we view your second half as recanting, and we say, I accept your first half. We go with the first half. Beis Hillel says, no, I assume that the second half was simply a mistake. That's all it was. And therefore, therefore, I'm going to follow your first half, because your first half was simply your second half was simply an error. The difference between the two, the practical difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, is what if your second half couldn't have been a mistake? That's really the difference between the two. What if the second half was not within the margin of error? According to Beis Shammai, I say, I don't care. You still follow the first half. According to Beis Hillel, I assume the whole thing was done in error, and therefore it's not binding. That's your fundamental disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Do I view it as a mistake, or do I view it as intentional? Omar Ze'iri says, Ze'iri says on the top of Kugimel Amid Beis, I want to go back to this. He says, Omar Ze'iri, Lo Shanu Ela De Omar Mincha. He says, if you're telling me that it's that Tfos Lashon Rishon, like Beis Shammai says, that you say the second half contradicted the first, and we follow the first, and therefore you're bound to bring a mincha, where you said mincha from barley, you're bound to bring a mincha. Lo shanu ela da'amar mincha. That assumes that in your first half you said the word mincha as a standalone. You said, I am going to bring a mincha from a barley. As opposed to, Rashi says, where you said minchat sa'orim. I'm going to bring minchat sa'orim. In English, this translation doesn't work, because in English it's a separate word. But minchat sa'orim means you joined the word mincha with the word barley. And therefore there is no lashon rishon. There isn't a first half, second half. It's a single integral statement. You can't divide it up. The Avalo'amar mincha, if he didn't use the word mincha as a standalone, lo, then he's not going to be bound by it. It makes sense within Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, I view your second half as a recanting of the first half, but if you can't divide them up into first half, second half, you're simply bound to bring a mincha. You're not bound to bring a mincha. Yasiv Rav Nachman Ukomar Lala Hashmaisa. So Rav Nachman retold this lesson of Zeiri. Esve Rava Rav Nachman, and Rava asked Rav Nachman a question. We learned, he's going to ask a series of questions, in fact. We learned in the Mishnah, if a person says, I'm bringing kemach, the rough flour, yavi solas. In fact, he has to bring solas. So lab de lo amar mincha, isn't that even where he never said the word mincha as a standalone? Lo de amar mincha, no. It's just our Mishnah is using shorthand. It means, he said, I'm bringing a mincha, kemach. Similarly, the next clause, we said, below shemen ulavona, he says he's bringing without oil and frankincense, yavi shemen ulavona, he still brings it with oil and frankincense. So, my love, the law of my mincha, isn't that talking about where he did not use the word mincha? Love, the law of my mincha, no, it's where he said mincha, we're good. Chatzi isaron, he said, I'm going to bring a half isaron, yavi isaron shalem, he's still supposed to bring a full one. My love, the law of my mincha, isn't that where he did not use the word mincha, and yet he's obligated? Love, the law of my mincha, no, that's where he said mincha. If so, Rava says, now I got you. Ema Seifa, look at the end. The end said, if a person says, I'm going to bring Isaron Umechza, an Isaron and a half, Yavi Shnayim, so he has to bring two. So, Kevin Diomar Mincha, if you're right that he said the word Mincha, so he said, I'm bringing a Mincha Isaron Umechza. So once he said mincha, ichayev la isaron, he became obligated in a single isaron. Ki amar chatzi isaron, lo klum ka amar hu. When he says chatzi isaron, what he's done is said a meaningless thing. So now I trapped you, Rava says. I trapped you into saying that each of these clauses was preceded with the word mincha. That means that when we got to the guy who said, I'm bringing a mincha, an isaron, and a half, he should just bring a mincha of an isaron. And the half part is meaningless. Lo tzricha de amar harayalai mincha chatzi isaron veisaron. He says, we have to rephrase it. It's where he said, I'm going to bring a mincha of a half isaron and an isaron. Why? The kevin de amar mincha, he said the word mincha, ichayev lebi isaron. He's now obligated in bringing an isaron because he said mincha. Then, ki amar chatzi isaron, he said, half isaron velo klum ko amar. That was meaningless. There's no such thing as bringing a mincha of a half isaron as a voluntary mincha. Ki hadar amar isaron, and then he used the word isaron again, maisi isaron achrina. Then he brings a second isaron. So it's mincha, that's one, chatzi, meaningless, isaron. That's what gives you your second isaron. Iachi, if so, then we learned, Rabbi Shimon Poter Shlo is Nadiv, Kederach HaMisnadvin, Amai. Wait a minute, Rabbi Shimon disagreed on our entire Mishnah, and he said it's no vow, right? He says what you did here is not a vow the way people normally vow, Amai. Why is that so? Why are you telling me that Rabbi Shimon did not, why is Rabbi Shimon telling me that he didn't make a real vow? Why don't I follow Tfos Lashon Rishon, follow his opening statement, he used the word Mincha. So, Amar Rava, Rabbi Shimon, Bishitas Rabbi Yossi, Amar. He says, because Rabbi Shimon follows Rabbi Yossi. The Amar Afdi, Gemar Devar of Adam Maspis, who says that we also work with the end of a person's statement. Not only the beginning of his statement, but also, the key is the word Af, also the end of his statement. And therefore, when he says, as Rashi says, when he says, I'm bringing a mincha, half Isaron and an Isaron, he's explaining his initial statement. His initial statement was, I am bringing a mincha, but he's explaining it of a half isaron and an isaron, which is not normal, and therefore we throw out the entire thing. That's the way Rabbi Shimon looks at it. We view the entire statement intact. And that's Rabbi Shimon's. Correct, but Rashi understands it to refer specifically to this one. That was where our challenge was. Yeah.
Because there's a In-law, you go to the last thing.
Yeah.
You go to the last thing.
Right. Well, not the last. Not the last. Also the last. He's taking... Right, but it's not only Lashon Achron. It's Lashon Achron as it reflects on Lashon Rishon. We view it... Yeah. Okay. So what we have is a really a great machlokas here between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as to whether I view the guy as having made a mistake in his first half, that's Beis Hillel, or whether I view him as trying to change his mind in the second half. And that's really one of the things that they should take away from this discussion. New Mishnah.
Shouldn't make a distinction between Ram or somebody who's
right, so we don't. We don't seem to make any distinction. We take this straight across the board. But you're right. I could always see such an argument. Mishnah now talks about the maximum size of a mincha. Misna of a single kli mincha. Misna devada mincha shal shishim isaron. He says a person can make a vow to bring a mincha of up to 60 isaron. Umevi the kli echad and bring it in a single kli. Im Amar, I'm jumping the parentheses. Im Amar Harei Alai Shishim Ve'echad. If he says I'm going to bring a 61 Isaron Mincha, maybe Shishim Bekli Echad, Ve'echad Bekli Echad. He brings 60 in one kli and one in another kli. 60 in this one in the other one. Shekein Hatzibur Mevi B'Yom Tov Arishon Shalchag Shechalios B'Shabbos Shishim Ve'echad. And the reason for this is our first approach. We're going to have two, but the reason for this approach is. Because the largest mincha normally brought is the communal mincha of 61 Isaron. If Shabbos and the first day of Sukkot coincide, we'll see it in Rashi in a moment, Dayo liyachid shupachos min hatzibur echad. So the individual's mincha should not be as big as the biggest communal mincha. Let the individual be one less than the community. Take a look at Rashi, please, on the opening of the Mishnah. He gives you the breakdown. He says, Leyud gimel parim, you have 13 bowls, right, 13 bowls, lamates esronim, that's 39 isaron, 3 isaron per
bowl.
Shlosh esronim lapar. Ule yud dalet kvasim, then you have 14 sheep. Yud dalet esronim, that's 14 more isaron. Harei nun gimel, that's 53. Ule shnei elim, the two rams, dalet esronim, that's 4 more isaron. Harei nun zayin, that's 57. Ule shnei tamidin shnayim, the two tamidin have 2 esronim as well. Ule shnei kivsei musaf, deshabas shnayim. And then two more for Shabbos. All right, Shishim V'Yachad, that's 61. That's our first explanation.
They're all separate.
That's the Gemara's question. Hang in there. And even the Mishnah itself will ask it. Amar Rav Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, V'halo elu leparim ve'elu lekvasim. I don't understand. Some of them are for bulls. Some of them are for sheep. Ve'enam nivlalim ze'em ze. You don't mix them together, as we're going to see in the Gemara, because they have different ratios of flour to oil. You're not allowed to mix them together. We've talked about that. What happens if my menachos get mixed up and they're supposed to have different ratios of flour to oil? So they're not all going in one kli. Ella, rather, Rabbi Shimon says, the reason is, ad shishem yacholim libalel. Up to 60 isaron will mix well in oil. If you have more than 60 isaron, they're not going to mix well in the oil. Amrulo, to which they said, really? Shishim nivlalin, v'shishim ve'echad ein nivlalin. When you have 60, it'll mix. 61 is not going to mix. Right? That's a classic question about shiurim in general. So Amar Lahem, to which he replied, Kol midos chachamim kein. He says, that's the way we work with our midos. The chachamim always had to say, this is the measure. If you look back in Yuma, in the 8th parak in Yuma, they have a nice discussion about this when they talk about kakoseves on Yom Kippur. The barbam sa'ah hu tovel, u barbam sa'ah chaser kor tovel, no yacholid balbahen. A mikvah is 40 sa'ah. 40 sa'ah minus a fraction of a nothing? No good. It's not a kosher mikvah. But what's the difference? I can't even tell the difference when I look at it. Nonetheless, this is the way shiurim work. And now the Gemara is going to replay this discussion. Shail she'ela l'malam Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. The question was asked above, meaning in front of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. Minayin la'omer harei alai shishin ve'echad mevi shishin b'kli echad ve'echad b'kli echad. How do you know that if a person vows a mincha of 61 isaron, it's 60 in one and one in a separate kli? Pasach Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, who was always the first speaker, the Romans made him the first speaker. The Gemara in Shabbat Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, which they reference here in Rashi, they said that the Roman authorities made him Rosh HaMedabrim, the main speaker, because he praised the good deeds of Rome. That's the story where Rabbi Shimon gets into trouble and needs to run off into the cave, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because he says negative things about the Romans. He says they built their roads because they wanted to do this, they built their markets because they wanted to do that. And Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, it's wonderful they built these things. So the Roman said, okay, Rabbi Yehuda, you get to be Rosh HaMedabrim, and they tried to kill Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he becomes Rosh HaMedabrim, the first speaker, and he answers the question about the 60 Yisaron verses 61. He gave the answer we saw in the first part of our Mishnah. The answer is that you want to be one less than the community mincha. Amar le Rabbi Shimon, to which Rabbi Shimon, who is not the Rosh HaMedabrim, because he's off hiding in a cave, Rabbi Shimon says, "Valo elu parim ve'elim ve'elu kavasim." Notice he adds in the word elim. The Mefarshim take out the word elim because this really doesn't belong here. But the key is the parim versus the kavasim, the bulls versus the sheep. Elu b'lasan ava ve'elu b'lasan raka. Elu b'lasan shachris ve'elu b'lasan beinu arbayim. Ve'eniv lalin mizeh al zeh. They have different ratios for the mixture. They also mention now the different times of day. You don't mix them together. Amr lo, so they said to him, and more at us, so Rabbi Shimon, what will you give as your explanation? If you don't accept Rabbi Yehuda's explanation, what's your explanation? Amar lem, to which he replied, Harayu Omer, the Pasuk says, V'chol mincha bilulav ha-shemen v'chareva. The key is bilulav ha-shemen, mixed in oil, as opposed to dried out. We say there are different types of menachos. Some are mixed with oil and some are not. Kvar amra Torah havei mincha sheyecholo lihibolel. The Torah said, bring a mincha that could get mixed in. Omar Lay, to which he replied, Bishishim Nivlalin, Bishishim Ve'echadein Nivlalin. What, you think they really get mixed up in 60? They don't get mixed up in 61? The same challenge we brought in our Mishnah. Amar lo, kol midas chachamim kein hu. He says that's the way it works in shiurim. Barbam sa'u tovel, barbam sa'u chaser kor tovenu yacholit bol. A mikvah must be minimum 40 sa'u, no less. Kebeitza mitami tumas ochlin, kebeitza chaser shumshum ein mitami tumas ochlin. The shiur of food to get tuma and to communicate tuma is a kebeitza size, not a kebeitza minus a sesame seed. Shlosha mitami midras, right? Three etzbaos by three etzbaos. They are three tefach by three tefach, right? The three tefach, the size piece of material will receive tumas midras. If a zav walks on it, shlosha chaser nima achas. If it's lacking even a thread, ain't a mitame midras. Then it doesn't gain that tuma. That's the way it works with our shiurim. So the Gemara asks, really? This is a key line now, this next line in the Gemara. You're telling me it has to be able to be properly mixed? V'chi ein nivlal in my havi. What if it isn't mixed well? V'atnan im lo bol al kosher. We have a Mishnah that says that if the mincha was not actually mixed well, it's still kosher. So why are you telling me here that it has to be of a proper ratio for mixing? Even if the mixing didn't take place, you're still okay. It's still a valid mincha. So Amar Rabbi Zera says, "Kol haroy lebila ein bila me'akeves bo." V'chol she'ein haroy lebila bila me'akeves bo. The answer is, it has to be suitable for mixture. If it's suitable for mixture, then even if the mixture doesn't happen, we're still okay. But if it's not suitable for mixture at all, then it's no good. That's a basic principle in halacha with ramifications that go far and wide. It has to do with immersion in a mikvah and the stance of the person who dips in the mikvah. We say that they can't have their limbs held tight to their body such that water can't get in. But if their limbs are open and water doesn't get in, they're still okay. It's still a kasher. It's still a kasher tevila. We talk about it by reciting the psukim and chalitza and bikurim and all that. I gave you a web link in your footnote, in footnote 4, for citations of different passages that have to do with Bila. From some work I did online. So therefore we say it has to be Royal Abila. Amar Avibi, where we are 7-8 lines up from the bottom. Boy, are they going. Amar Avibi, Amar Bashir ben Levi. Maisa bepreda acha shalvais rebi shemesa. The following is a bona fide tangent. It's here because either Rashi says, because it deals with shiurim, we're going to talk about measuring the blood of a nevela to see whether it communicates tumah. So Rashi says, says it's because it deals with Shiurim. Tosfos says it's because Rabbi Yehuda, again, is going to be cited here as the chief authority. But the story was, there was a Preda Acha Shabbos Rebbe, Shemesa, a certain mule in the house of Rebbe died. Vishiru Chachamim has Dama Berevius, and the Chachamim gauged whether its blood was more than a Revius or not, to see whether it would communicate Tumah. That's what they wanted to know. So Masiv Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna challenged them and said, "Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira, we learned that they testified. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira testified al dam nevelos regarding blood of a nevela shehu tahor. That it is tahor. Va'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira ma'isav ayu nochrin arudios la arayos ba'estar yeshamelach. Once, presumably by the gladiators in the king's stadium, they were killing wild donkeys for the lions. Va'yu ole regalim." And the people who were coming up for Aliyah L'Regel were up to their calves in blood, the Arkuva, maybe it's the knee. And they didn't say anything. They didn't say anything about Tumah. Blood of an Avela doesn't communicate Tumah. So what are you caring about? Why do you care about the blood of this Pirda, this mule? Ishtik, he was silent. Amar le Rabbi Zvika, my tamaloka mahadema. Rabbi Zvika said, "What's wrong with you? Why didn't you answer?" There's an easy answer. Amar le, to which Rabbi said, "Hechia haderle, how can I answer him? My head is elsewhere." The Amar Rabbi Chanan said, "Pasuk in the Tochacha says, Vayuchayachat limlacham ineged ufachadata laila v'yomam velo sa'amin bechayacha." That's the Pasuk. Literally, your lives will be suspended opposite you. You will be afraid night and day, and you will not trust your life. It makes reference to life twice, in the beginning and in the end. So, your life will be suspended before you. That's someone who needs to buy grain on an annual basis. And Rashi explains, he depends on others for his grain supply because he doesn't have land. Because he goes into Galus, the Maharsha adds here. That's how it fits into the Tochacha. You go into Galus and lose your land. So therefore, such a person is always afraid. Maybe I won't find, or maybe I won't be able to afford grain. Ufachadata laila v'yomam increases in intensity. You'll be afraid night and day. Zelo keach tavua me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. That's someone who buys grain from Friday to Friday. Velo samin bechayecha. Ve'al tamin is a mistake. Velo samin bechayecha. You won't trust your life. Ze ha'somech ala palter. That's a person who depends on the baker every day. He has to go out and get fresh bread. It's like he lives in Toronto where they don't have kosher packaged bread and they have to go buy from the bakery and it goes bad every single day. So he says, such a person can't focus, can't concentrate. You wonder why daf was difficult. How can you concentrate? You're worried about getting bread. Bahu Gavra, Palter Samich, and Rabibi said, I depend on the baker, and therefore I couldn't focus, and therefore I couldn't answer. I want to come back to the Torah Tamim on the Maharsha on this in a minute, but let's just finish the passage first. So he says, that's why I didn't answer. My Havi Allah, what should have been the answer? Why, in fact, were they measuring the donkey blood? So the mule blood, I should say. Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Yehuda Moryana Debe Nesia Hava. Because Rabbi Yehuda, there he is again, this is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, was the posek for the house of the Nasi, Va'orile Kishmaisei, and he ruled according to his lesson, Disnat, or in the margin they have Disanya, as the Brisa says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shisha Dvar Mekule Beishamayu Mechumre Beis Hillel. That there are six things, six areas in which Beishamay is lenient and Beis Hillel is strict, and Dam Nevelo is one of them. The blood of the Nevela is one of them. That Beis Shammai Metarin, Beis Shammai says Tor, you're right. Beis Hillel Metamin, but Beis Hillel says Tamei. And that's why they were gauging the blood of the Pirda. Amar Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Afkisha Timu, Beis Hillel Timu Ela Berevius. He says, even when Beis Hillel said Tamei, it was only if there was a Revius, Hol V'yacholikrosh V'lamar Al Kizayis. Because if it were to congeal, you would have a Kizayis, and the Tumah of an Avela is with a Kizayis of flesh. So the Marsha points out something fascinating. He says, if you look at that drasha that we just did, there were three parts to it. One was the person who buys grain annually, one was the person who buys grain weekly, and one is the person who buys grain daily. Rashi on the Pasuk in Devarim, it's Perachav Ches, Pasuk Samach Vav, only quotes the first and the third. He doesn't quote the middle one. And the Maharsha says the reason why Rashi doesn't quote the middle one is because Rashi only quotes drashos where they link closely to the Pasuk. That's Rashi's habit. He only quotes a drasha if it fits closely to the pasuk. The first one does, because it's about chayecha, your life. The third one does. It's about your life. The middle one, being afraid night and day, there is no obvious connection between that and the drasha of buying grain from week to week. And therefore, Rashi didn't quote it. He says the only drashas Rashi's going to quote in his Perush al HaTorah are drashas that link closely to the text of the Pesukim. I thought that was fascinating, that comment by the Maharsha. Also worth seeing is the Tara Tamima here about the uncertainty of being on land and being without your land. But that's a separate point.
How did you answer the question, though?
How did you answer which question?
The question about nobody asked.
Right, because they weren't following this view of Rabbi Yehuda within Beis Hillel. It's only the Beis Hanasi, where Rabbi Yehuda is the posek, says that we should worry about the Tumah of the Nevelos. But in general, they were not following Rabbi Yehuda's view of that.
Somebody basically, I think, quotes scared of the Nasi because they knew he was allied with the Romans. They said it, they answered it in any way.
So that's why he's Reish Moriana. That's why he's Moriana then. So Moriana was more than just the Mora Halacha. Moriana making fear? Maybe. Okay. Rabbi Chaim and Akasha, or do you have another thing, Akasha?